All right, so we're here in Chicago with Tanagram Partners. Now, we've been talking a lot about your Codeplex project, touch.codeplex.com, which is all about making natural user interfaces on Windows 7 through multi-touch easier for developers. But natural user interfaces are much more than just touch. Touch is simply an element of potential natural user interfaces.
Yeah, and everyone, it seems like natural user interface is being thrown around as this touch equals natural user interface. Is that a fair statement, or what? You said something about that's just the tip of the iceberg.
Right.
What are you talking about?
Well, so touch or natural user interface is really nothing new. It's just things that we already do. So when I started this program 2.5 years ago, we were really talking about a baby wakes up, a baby is born and has the ability to do a number of things right out of the box, right? They're pre-programmed behaviors, if you will. But we have, through the years, because of technology limitations, created a keyboard that allows us to type characters that spell words that then mean commands on the computer. So we've really abstracted it. Natural user interface is about people touching data in a realistic way. It's about representing data in a manner in which it's actually almost physical. So we've got a number of programs going on. The one I'd like to talk about is actually a program that we were awarded a Small Business Innovative Research Grant from DARPA to develop an augmented reality experience for soldiers in the field.
Very cool.
So we'll walk through that. I've got some storyboards behind you to kind of give you an illustration of what's going on. The real thing is that, today people are trying to solve this NUI, natural user interface problem, one channel at a time. And as you can see, as I talk, we gesture, we have facial expression, I have tone in my voice. If I put my hand on you, you've got a haptic experience, I mean, there's a lot of different channels that we use for error correction. So if I say something and you make a frowny face, I know that I need to restate that.
Right.
So there's a lot of things that's what natural user interface is about. It's about incorporating digital systems naturally into the human's environment.
And up to this point, we've had a limitation from the platforms that we've been working within. The platforms don't facilitate a lot of the things that are indoctrinated into us as we're raised as human beings. But we are getting to the point where, from a technology and input perspective, that we can start capturing the more subtle nuances of human communication from a computational perspective and interpreting them and using them as actual computer interaction feedback. And I think that's why we're so excited, is because a lot of the things that we've always wanted to do or see as the correct way to interact with a particular device are becoming a little more real day by day by day. And that really is what this project represents as well.
So to tie back your question about is touch it, well, yeah, we touch things, right? We also talk to them. We also, gesture to them, et cetera. So it's only a piece of the component.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think, interfaces become natural when it's not about the technology.
That's right.
And so we're not even going to talk about any technology here per se, right?
Right,
we're not
correct.
Talking about, what technology powers this. We're just going to talk about, how software can be interacted with in an extremely natural way for soldiers in a battlefield.
That's
absolutely.
Right.
So I'd like to take a second to introduce Dan Delaney. Dan was actually the lead on the project that we're about to illustrate. And I think you can really kind of shed some light on sort of the overarching mission and vision that we were trying to encapsulate with this project.
Great. So to set the context, soldiers in contested areas have to make decisions when they're very tired and when there's a lot of sort of cognitive load on them. And the military has done a lot of research on a concept called situation awareness. There's actually a little thing here that we use as stimulus, where there's three levels of situation awareness that goes from perception to comprehension, and then to projection, so that they're almost leading to action. They've done a lot of research in this to figure out what helps drive better decision making, and we use that as really our focus in terms of developing IARM, because the whole goal of IARM is to increase situation awareness so that soldiers can make better decisions as individuals and as groups in a way that actually lowers their cognitive load.
And so IARM is the project that we're talking about here?
Yes.
That's correct. It stands for Intelligent Augmented Reality Model.
So that's really been the goal, and that's really driven the whole concept. But Joe, you want to...
Absolutely, absolutely. So what Dan's talking about is an OODA loop. That's a long-standing military acronym for basically the decision cycle. But, I want to kind of show you through this storyboard what this system's capable of doing. And a couple things before we start. When we think about this platform,
it's important to know that pretty much everything involved in this platform exists as technology today. There are a few pieces that we own as intellectual property that sort of tie it together, but really the pieces that we're illustrating here, this exists, and it's how it's stitched that makes it compelling.
And one thing that you'll see as well that I think we're fairly proud of is the fact that at no time in the storyboards is the user of the system actually interacting with the physical component of the system. No mice, no keyboards, no buttons. Everything is really truly from the natural user interface handbook in terms of gestures, voice commands, haptics, and of course, interpretation of human interaction.
Right. Because a button is a waste of space. All right, so let me take you through the storyboard here a little bit. So this is actually, there are two components to this architecture. There's a server cluster and there's a client piece of hardware. We've got an illustration here showing the important parts of the client hardware. The helmet is actually has a 360 camera on the top of it, and then embedded in the combat goggles are a stereoscopic camera set for dimensional stereo imagery, as well as an infrared and UV cameras. And you know, I think you saw that in the Army commercial where they go to UV mode, right? The real cool technology that's just gone into production is the OLED translucent display goggles. Using lens technology and OLED, we can now do what we like to call paint the environment. So here's an example of what painting the environment means. We've got a group of soldiers here standing in a circle, and this is pretty much from the layman's point of view. Somebody's standing in a window or whatnot, looking down. This is what they see.
Any outside observer is really just experiencing a group of people in a circle.
Correct. But what they're actually doing is looking at a three-dimensional model that is basically their mission plan. And this story is actually, Dan, I'm going to check with you. This story is actually about two platoons.
Two squads.
Sorry, thank you. In Afghanistan, rolling through. Why don't you just catch us up real quick?
Sure. The situation is you've got two squads, and their objective is to clear a four-block area within a city that had been cleared once, but insurgents have come back. So that this first establishing shot is they're able to pattern through the mission. They're going to start at opposite ends of a four-block stretch of street and meet in the middle.
Right.
Go.
So it's important to note that these men are seeing this three-dimensional model painted in the space between them at their perspective. So it is like it's actually a physicality in the environment. This is actually where we start to go into the scenario. They begin their mission. We created a quick slide showing what some of the benefits would be. We're talking about floating or orbiting call signs above people. We love the name Bucket. That's an awesome call sign. And then vital signs, vital statistics. So this is a relatively simple illustration, but you see dots over each of the individuals here, meaning they're healthy, and we've got some symbology that takes you through that. In the distance,
and then the advantage there is really a scope advantage that even when you're on your own or even as soldiers, exit from their immediate group, you can still keep tabs on the health and status of your teammates and know about them even when they're not in proximity to you.
Right.
And we're doing that through the visualization here.
Right. Exactly. And you can see orbiting in the sky as a dimensional bullseye. That's actually their target, the point they're all moving towards. And obviously, there's many ways to get there, so we didn't want to paint the road.
Mm-hmm. And what you're seeing is what we call through IARM perspective. This outline is really the outline of the goggles.
Yeah,
so that you're seeing it as a member of the squad would be seeing it.
Right. And the last thing is, if you game it all, you'll note the ever-popular team radar view, and then you've got your target off the top. What we're seeing in this slide right here, I think, is pretty compelling in that our system uses stitched together imagery to create three-dimensional models and further enhance what's called the Common Operating Picture, or COP. So every camera we have on scene adds to the resolution of the environment and gives us more intelligence. Well, what we've done here is we've sent one of our squad members up on a roof, and he's actually looking down on the path they're going to travel, and he's decided that this particular area is an area of hazard. Behind that wall is some kind of cover, something that could be a risk. So he's decided to paint it. And this is where your NUI starts to happen. You can see here, all he does to paint the object is drag his finger around the edge of the object. The system knows when I am in a pointing mode that I am in fact drawing. And now I'm drawing around this object, and it'll just paint the line in there.
And the benefit from the squad's perspective is that they now are afforded a collective situational awareness that they wouldn't have been able to have without the affordance of technology here. Normally in this situation, that information would have to be disseminated verbally between squad members.
Right.
But what we're leveraging here is technology to paint the actual threat and then automatically communicate it in a collective way to the rest of the members of the squad.
And it adds a great deal of precision to the whole situation.
So yep. I'm going to move aside here so you can continue to see this. One of the things we found very quickly in our research was that the soldier often isn't afforded the opportunity to gesture and or has his hands full. So we built the system to have what we call head point. And head point, he basically speaks the word crosshair. A crosshair is drawn in his view. And you can see from here, he uses the word outline, and he selects a window, and he's now flagged that window.
And so this he's using a verbal command to try and do what would...
He's a verbal command and his head. He can tilt his head subtly to highlight objects with the crosshair. So a subtle movement like this isn't going to get you shot, whereas if you're just gesturing wildly, that might...
I'm all hiding over here.
Right.
Yeah. And this is really where the power and implementation of NUI comes in, that... from a soldier's perspective, they may or may not have the ability to perform any particular channel or dimension of communication at any time. They obviously have other things to consider, like their weapon, like their situation, like the danger protection level that they're affording somebody else. So, whereas here the observer was afforded the ability to actually use a hand gesture to perform a particular behavior, in a different situation, that may or may not be afforded to the same person. So they need to solve the same problem with an actual different natural user interface mode.
Right. So as the story continues, one of our soldiers runs into a local who's come out with her hands up, speaking in a language he doesn't understand. The system has the ability, because we're triangulating images, and we're using people recognition technology. In other words, we have software that will allow us to determine hands and heads. We know what people are. We can very, very rapidly identify humans in the model and then flag them. Everybody we don't know, so the way the military colors things, blue is friendly, red is bad, and then unknowns are yellow. So you can see she's painted yellow. She has a yellow outline. And what's happening in this next slide, you're actually seeing it through goggles because this is actually the COP, the Common Operational Picture. Through this mission, there's a team of people remotely located watching the mission unfold. There's a surface-like technology here that is showing the terrain and the mission plan. But in addition, you're seeing our IARM system paint floating video views from each of the soldiers as they're walking through the mission. This one's bigger because it's either been flagged with an alert, excuse me, or one of these guys has grabbed it and pulled it up just for further analysis. But what happens here in this story, she's speaking Pashi, and this gentleman right here is a cultural specialist. He determines that the tone of her voice and the particular dialect of Pashi she's speaking indicates she's likely in cohorts with
insurgents.
So they treat this with caution. And what you can see in this next slide, back on the scene, there's an alert that's set up that lets everybody know something's going on over here to pay attention and, that there's possibility. To further enhance the common operating picture and everybody's situational awareness, one of the soldiers throws a robot drone up into the air. It has another camera. We're also talking about rollerball cameras. You put a web ball in a softball-sized thing and just roll it into a room like a smoke bomb, and we get a real quick picture of what's going on in there. He's throwing this up, and you can see the cop is now able to view from the drone's view. Is superimposed on top of the map. So they're seeing real-time feeds for particular parts of the composition. Just quickly, we had to make rifle point one of the capabilities as you're going through this system. Obviously, if I put my rifle up, the glyph sensing technology that we're using on the cameras knows that, hey, that's a rifle. I'm going to switch over to rifle mode, and you can use things like rifle point, and I can tell you wind correction and stuff like that.
And essentially, this is the third solution to the same problem that we've talked about twice before, painting a particular target or point of warning. And, again, speaking to natural user interface, same problems come up three different times in three different situations, and based on the actual conditions of the environment, was solved three different ways.
Right. So I'll walk you back over here. This particular place, there's two things going on in this slide. The flagging has actually targeted this building for a tank.
They determined that there's an RPG in this building. So two things have happened. A little bat signal is now floating over that building that indicates there's an RPG there. So anybody who can see that building with our system now knows, hey, better make sure you're not in missile range here. But the other thing is that this target's indicating that there's a tank coming. It's going to blow this thing apart. You probably don't want to be standing underneath it. So as you can see here in this next slide, this is actually Squeaky. Squeaky's coming in from another direction to a pre-painted environment. So we showed you painting, but this is actually where it starts to become interesting. This is an environment where Squeaky knows, I got to stay away from these windows, and there's questions about these windows going on right now. You know, it's the intelligence that's painted into the environment that's yeah. What we call it common perspective memory. So another example of that might be if Squeaky were to see a splatter mark, an indication on the ground that somebody had been hit, he would know that there was, in the past, maybe 30 days ago, somebody was shot by a sniper. He'd want to avoid that area because it might be a sniper, alcove or whatnot. So we have the ability to show historic perspective. We can also use that technology to show changes in the environment. We're using a photo stitching technology, like I said, but this technology is also very powerful to determine things like IEDs. So for instance, if there is a car that wasn't there the other day, or if a trench has suddenly appeared that wasn't there the other day, we can now compare through our collective memory. We can now show you sort of differences in the environment and highlight them. Finally, what really brings the rubber to the road in our painting technology, in my opinion, is one of the squad leaders is coordinating his force in a. They have to surround a mosque, and as they're going in, it's really handy to know what the surrounding environment is and where everybody is. The little map shows you some things, but if you do this gesture right here, sorry, I did it backwards. This gesture right here, you can actually, it will draw you a map in between your fingers, and then you can move that map around like it's an actual physical object. So he's drawn a map of the environment. He can make commands from this map, and he can fold it up too. He coordinates people in here. You can see them moving in. You can see sort of a perspective view of what everybody else is seeing. And then, before, I think, Tim, you tell the story the best. Before you kick in the door, you kind of want to know what's going on.
Right. This would afford, the soldier the potential to gain some situational awareness about an environment that he or she had to enter before having to enter it, which is a very powerful powerful piece of information in order to perform a task like that. In the past, it was something that just wasn't possible at all. But through the use of technology and this very very transparent user interface, can be very easily accessed in a way that doesn't encumber their current ability, current training, and current focus or intent.
You can also see down here, Spurs just taking a hit. So to wrap that up, one of the things that I think kind of ties us together that isn't really apparent in these slides is that we're using cameras on a person's head, using their field of view, to capture what their hands are doing. But in addition to that, we're stitching in his field of view to see what my hands are doing. So I can start to use things like sign language or sign glyphing. And so for instance, if the high sign for get the hell out of here is, like this, his camera on the top of his head is looking 360, sees that, it'll put his system in the get the hell out of here mode, right? Another opportunity is that we think is kind of funny is the destroy command or the strike command, which we were going to use too. You'll have to fuzz this, guys, but it's like that.
But what's cool is that a lot of the functionality was informed by research that we were able to get from the military about how situation analysis is developed and how decisions are made under duress. And we also use cognitive research to really understand how the brain is able to form and develop attention, because there's a lot going on here. And all the functionality from things like this up here with the 3D walkthrough before, the use of visuals and visualization, it was all driven by cognitive research, in terms of a lot of the brain scan technology has really given us a lot of insight into what works and what doesn't. So,
and every frame really not only tells the story of the squad moving through the particular scenario, also tells the story of the technology and how it augments the soldier's ability to perform in that environment, but also there's another dimension of each frame, which, like Dan alluded to, was the research aspect. Every frame highlights a very particular piece of research or insight that we had into the marrying of technology into this particular behavior pattern, you know, so that they were augmented in a positive way.
Yeah. You'll note there are no buttons. So this is IARM. We are just completing our phase one with a Small Business Innovative Research Grant. We are hoping to get a phase two, and at which point we'll be prototyping and testing the system.
Great, guys. Well, you know, looking at this, it, you know, to me, I think if people don't understand the concept of natural user interfaces coming into this video, I think people will clearly get it now, because, you know, what you've just described really does allow the software to just disappear, right? And it's humans interacting with software in a way that is nothing like how we interact with software now. And it doesn't even feel like you're interacting with software. It's just natural, right?
That's correct. And that was one of the goals. We knew that in dealing with soldiers, we were dealing with highly trained individuals. But their training was primarily focused on the equipment that they used traditionally and also their interaction and communication with each other. So we wanted to leverage that as much as possible and really build a system that almost felt like another member or a system that kind of oversaw the members of that system so that it just kind of faded away and was transparent into how they did their job. We knew that, you know, to Joe's point, that if we invented any buttons or physical user interfaces, we would have utterly failed on this particular project, because the soldier obviously has far too many other concerns to worry about learning yet another piece of technology in terms of integrating into a high-stress environment like this.
Well, that's the goal of natural user interface anyway, right? By the time it becomes something that is completely involved with your natural movement or me actually being in battle and not interfering with that process, you've actually achieved the goal of creating a natural user interface. And that's something that people keep diving into NUIs. It's a little confusing to see that just because touch has taken off, they equate natural user interface to being just touch. This is obviously showing all of your human senses being used in a full end-to-end system. This is awesome.
Well, thank you very much for taking the time to share your vision on this. Appreciate it.
Glad to.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah.